on the Shropshire Stars football podcast this week. We've got AFC Telford United reporter Chris Hudson and the national news editor and Shrewsbury Town fan Dave Burrows.
So I'm joined once again this week by David Burrows while James Garrison continues to cruise somewhere around the Med. So Dave, we'll look back at, between us, but the action this week for Shrewsbury Town and Telford. And we'll start with Shrewsbury. And I know you were there on Saturday to witness a cracking game against Southend.
No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't, apparently. Okay.
No, I wasn't.
I remember now, you told me you couldn't make this one, could you?
Yeah, the first game, first home game I've missed for, I can't remember how long. And by all accounts, the best performance Shrewsbury have given at the new stadium. So brilliant. Yeah, missed it completely.
You're not a lucky charm there, then.
No, apparently not. I thought it was me bringing good fortune to the club, but apparently they can do it without me. So, cracking result, beating the league leaders with 10 men for a big swathe of the game. Closing the gap on the top three. All good.
You just don't expect it, do you? When so you get your striker Marvin Morgan sent off in the first half and it's still 0-0 at that stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looks like a long afternoon in store.
Yeah, and it was one of those sendings off that everybody's talking about at the moment. You can see why it was given. You can also see Shrewsbury's argument for it not being given. But from people I've spoken to, that it seemed to galvanate the team and the fans in a sort of us against them kind of mentality. And like I say, we went on to score, conceded an equaliser. And at that point, you're thinking, oh, if we hold them for a point, this will be good. But popped up with a winner.
Fantastic result, yeah. Have you seen the Marvin Morgan incident on TV?
I've seen it a few times, just trying to work out what I would do. And like I say, I can see it from both arguments, unfortunately. He stretches for the ball. There's no malice in it whatsoever. And I do think maybe the reaction of the players maybe contributed to the decision. But it's one of those talking points that seems to be focused on football at the moment.
Yeah, he looked unlucky to me when I saw it. I went to see Graham Turner though on Tuesday morning, had a chat with him down at the ground, and he was saying he wasn't going to appeal simply because it's so hard to categorically prove the referee's wrong, and that's the level of proof needed to overturn one of these decisions.
Yeah, and I think he said the wise decision, obviously, if you stick in an appeal and they think it's frivolous, then you end up with an extra match on, and obviously with the games we've got coming up and being in the position we are, we could, three games is bad enough. We could do without four games without him, although he hasn't obviously been scoring that many, but yeah, I think probably the right decision.
Keep Shrewsbury right up there though, and it's really bunched, isn't it? The top three are all level now, and then Shrewsbury are down in fifth, but only about 3 or 4 points back now.
Yeah, 4 points behind. So obviously if we'd lost that game, then there was a big gap between us and the top, certainly, and us and the top three. But like I say, close the gap, it's all bunching up nicely, and puts us in good stead, especially ahead of the game at Hereford on Saturday, which I will be at.
The other talking point from Tuesday, before we move on to that, from Saturday, sorry, was the injury to Shane Cansdale-Sheriff.
I haven't seen that because for some reason it wasn't on any of the highlights packages, even though obviously it led to, I think it was 9 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the game, but it sounded like a horrific injury. And I know just from reading tweets from him and from the other players that it sounded pretty nasty, and it sounds like he might be out for a fair while.
Yeah, they're saying 4 to 6 weeks. Now, the transfer window shuts on Tuesday. I think the manager's looking for a defender. Do you think he needs one, or have they got the options within the squad?
I think if he can't bring one in, we've just about got enough cover, but I think you want the added comfort of having an extra man just because you don't know that you're not going to lose somebody else in the coming game. So if it's worst-case scenario and it's 6 weeks out, that's a long time to be with only the bare bones of your defender. So I think if he can bring somebody in, that's probably what we need.
If you can't do that before Saturday, put yourself in Turner's shoes. How do you reorganise that defence?
Bring Grandison, who was by all accounts superb on Saturday. I think you bring him into the centre, and then you've got natural replacements to slot into Grandison's position at right back.
Yeah, I suppose Carl Reagan, he played in that friendly game against Crewe that they played in midweek, and that's one option they're looking at.
Indeed, yeah, and I mean, before his problems, Reagan looked like he could do the job. So I think, like you say, if you can't bring somebody in, then we've got cover.
You say you are going to be at the Hereford game yourself?
I will be at the Hereford game, yes, making up for last Saturday, so I'll go to it. It's a nice trip down the road.
It's a sellout, isn't it, for the town fans? So there'll be 1,300 of you packed into the away end.
Yeah, I believe so, and they've stopped it from being all ticket for home fans now, so it sounds like we might have the greater following, which will be jolly good fun, especially with all the reunions going on.
Yeah, they're happening on both sides of the pitch, aren't they? If you could maybe talk us through a few of those.
Yeah, everywhere you look. I mean, the obvious one is Mr. Turner, who we were delighted to get back. And obviously, every time we played them when he was the boss down there, it was always the chant of Turner is a Shrewsbury fan. So he proved that by coming back to us, which is obviously not a popular decision for the Hereford supporters. So obviously, you've got that one. You've got Nathan Elder, who obviously was with us for a while, who's now with Hereford. Is he still on loan? I can't actually remember.
Month it became permanent. He's left Hazen Yedding and he's now a permanent Hereford player.
And he was always a popular player at the club, both with fans and with his fellow players, by all accounts. So I suspect he'll get a fairly good reception from us.
Yeah, likeable bloke, Nathan Elder. He didn't have a lot of luck at Shrewsbury with injuries, but there's something about him. Whenever I used to speak to him, I want him to do well. Maybe not on Saturday, but he's one of those you really wish the best to. You think he deserves a break.
Yeah, and I think all the fans thought that about him as well. Like you say, we didn't see much of him but with the problems he had, but he just seemed to be one of those ones that everybody naturally took to. And I think, as you say, everyone will wish him the best, apart from ourselves.
And a couple of other connections. Obviously, Gary Peters will be potentially in the dugout, or at least somewhere in Edgar Street on Saturday.
Yeah, indeed. And again, I think Shrewsbury fans sort of think good things about Gary in his time at the club. He did a decent job for us and got us to as high a level as I think he could have got us to. But again, another one which I don't think we bear any ill will towards, which is nice.
He seems to gravitate towards challenges, doesn't he? He came to Shrewsbury when they were battling to stay in League Two, and now he's at Hereford and gone in to do pretty much the same job.
Yeah, indeed. I don't know whether that says anything about him or his abilities as a firefighter or what, he does seem to be attracted to the challenge, shall we say.
And Hereford had Steve Leslie earlier in the season, although he is back in the Shrewsbury camp now.
Yeah, indeed. Don't expect him to feature. He's obviously not broken back into the squad since he's come back, but I'm sure he'll be kicking around, sort of banter on both sides.
So, well, it's been a pretty busy week at Shrewsbury. I'll tell you what, it's been a pretty busy week for Telford as well.
So I believe.
Yeah, they went down 2-1 to Cambridge United on Saturday, a side that Shrewsbury know pretty well. I'm sure you've watched Cambridge
over the years.
Down in the conference now. Telford were unlucky in that one, but they were particularly aggrieved by a decision from the official. I think it was a corner right deep into first half injury time that the referee gave. Quite clearly shouldn't have been a corner, and it led to a goal. Telford should have defended that better. Where do you stand on that kind of thing? Do you blame the official? Do you blame yourselves for not dealing with it?
I think, obviously, we had the experience last season with the goal that wasn't against Torquay, and I think the problem is you can get too focused on blaming the official. Like the official's made a mistake. Like you say, evidence seems to suggest it was never a corner in the first place. But once the ref has given that decision, then you've just got to dust yourselves down and switch on like you would for any other corner, any other set piece in the game. So, it was a poor decision and they should never have been in that position. But having said that, once it's there, you've got to defend it better.
Yeah, defending corners has become a hot topic for Telford lately, actually. They went to Stockport on Tuesday, 2-0 up at half-time and cruising, and ended up drawing 2-2. Both Stockport goals coming from corners. Now, Telford are deploying what they call zonal marking at the moment. You hear about that in the Premier League sometimes. Do you think that's the way for a non-league team to go about it?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think it's a way for a Premiership team to go, to be honest. I think zonal marking is just a recipe for disaster. You only have to get one player who doesn't actually understand what they're supposed to be doing, and suddenly you've got a man completely unmarked at the back stick to nod it home. But I mean, no offence to non-league footballers, but I just don't think zonal defence is the way to go in non-league. I think you pick a man, you stick with your man, then everybody knows who's their responsibility, and if somebody's lost a man, then you know exactly whose fault it is.
I think I know about 2,000 Telford fans who might agree with you at the minute after their last couple of games. And yeah, a few other talking points from Tuesday. Phil Traynor sent off in that one for the Telford midfielder. Got two bookings in the space of 2 minutes. That's a pretty good going, isn't it?
That's not bad. I mean, obviously, you'll know better than me, but were they yellow cards?
Yeah, you can't argue with either, really. First one for a slightly rash challenge. Second one, one of the Stockport players has gone in a bit hard on the Telford goalkeeper, and Phil Traynor's gone in like his bodyguard or something and just shoved this guy in the back. But you're 2-1 up, there's 10 minutes to go. Really, he needs to show a bit more common sense.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you've just had a yellow card, what you want to be doing as a footballer then is staying away from any sign of any trouble. It doesn't matter, you know, what's happened to your teammates or what have you. A bit of loyalty showing towards his goalkeeper by the sounds of it, but you know in your mind you've just been booked, don't get involved.
The annoying thing was, Young had gone in quite harsh and hard on Young, but Young had actually come out with the ball. The Telford goalkeeper had the ball in his hands, so it's not like Telford's goal was under any threat.
So even less of an excuse, you know, like you say, you're 2-1 up, you've got the ball in the goalkeeper's hands, which is exactly where you want it as the clock ticks down, and then you go and do something rash like that, and gosh, your team, what at the moment is a vital 3 points for Telford.
Yeah, it should. I mean, Telford have only won once away from home in the league all season. They looked a banker for a second one here. Like I say, cruising at half-time. Stockport, a terrible team, by the way. I really feel for what's happened to them. They're in danger of a third consecutive relegation. I mean,
yeah, when you look where they were a couple of seasons back, it's worrying times for them. It just shows how quickly football can change.
Telford couldn't beat them, and that might that's going to rankle with them, because they should have done, and they'll be looking to make amends this week. But a tough trip to Grimsby Town is up next for them. There's another name.
There's another team from Shrewsbury's recent past. Yeah,
ex-Shrewsbury player there actually, Craig Disley.
Of course, yeah, Craig is the captain, I believe, and another one who was very popular in his time at the Manor. But yeah, Grimsby always were a decent footballing side when they were in the opposite. They went down, but still played some decent football. So yeah, another tough test for Telford.
And yeah, they won. Their last home game was on Saturday when they thrashed Bath 6-0. And here's a stat for you. Grimsby Town, apparently, they've scored 41 home league goals this season. That's the second highest total in the whole of Europe in professional football, behind Barcelona.
That is a cracking stat. Well done, Chris. You should be very proud of that.
It's not very often you hear Grimsby and Barcelona in the same sentence.
No. Or indeed ever. They've got to come unstuck at some time. You know, there's always a chance with that sort of record that maybe a bit of complacency sinks in, and you know, who knows.
It's a tough task for Telford, but sometimes this season they've risen to the challenge again in the games where you maybe don't expect them to, and you do see that, don't you, right, raising your game for the big teams.
Yeah, well, I think that you get almost that cup mentality, don't you, where you think, right, we've got nothing to lose, we're expected to get beaten, so it maybe frees up a couple of the players, and I say maybe a bit of complacency, or not even complacency necessarily from Grimsby, but they expect to get something from the game, and anything can happen.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck to Shrewsbury and to Telford this weekend, and myself and either James Garrison or maybe Dave Burrows again will be back with you for next week's football podcast.